Okay, folks, we're going to start this news conference. This is a historic time for ICANN. We're happy that you're all here for this news conference. Let me lay out what's going to happen today. We've got reporters in the room, obviously. We also have some connecting online. We have some on the phone. For those on the phone, your line is muted. If you have a question you want to ask, you hit #3. You'll talk to our conference operator, Heather. She'll let us know. Please give her your name, your news organization, city and country you're calling from. She'll let us know you're online. We'll unmute your line. You can ask your question. With that, let me introduce these three gentlemen. We have Dr. Stephen Crocker, ICANN Board Chair, Fadi Shahadi, our CEO and President, and Quek, Vice President and Managing Director for Asia and the Pacific Region. So with that, Fadi, I believe you had a couple of opening comments.
Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, ICANN launched at the request of NTIA, the Department of Commerce in the United States, a global effort to convene communities across the world and discuss how we will transition the United States government's stewardship over ICANN, IANA functions to the global community. This is a very important launch. It happened here in Singapore, again, a city that has been the place for a lot of ICANN's history, including its very, very first meeting in 1999. The launch of this process is historic indeed, because it's been envisaged from the first day of ICANN's creation, that at some point, when ICANN and the global community were deemed ready to carry on in their activities without the oversight of the U.S. government, that the U.S. government will let go of its unique involvement in the affairs of ICANN. And that day happened recently, and today was the day when the community launched that global process to actually replace the stewardship of the United States government. This is indeed momentous, and it's fantastic that, again, it starts in Singapore. We will take that process to the world. We will have meetings and consultations with the public, with the communities, along with our fellow technical organizations, the IETF, the regional internet registries, and here, most importantly in the AP region, APNIC, who will be partnering with us in getting the word out to involve everyone into that process. So this is historic. The second thing I want to mention quickly with Quek on my side, if I'm a Singaporean internet user or a member of the community that cares about how the internet is governed in Singapore, I would ask, why is this important? Why this matters to me? Well, let me be very clear. The functions managed by ICANN here and coordinated to ensure the internet remains one internet are critical to the functioning of the internet. And the internet, needless to say, is a very, very important force for economic development and human development in Singapore and beyond. This morning, when Minister Yaqub was describing the penetration rate and the success of the internet in Singapore, it became very clear to all of us that this is a central resource for the continued economic growth of this great country. And therefore, every Singaporean and every member of the community in Singapore that cares about internet governance ought to make it an important priority to participate in this process that opened here today for the whole globe. Because any country or any community that is not participating is actually losing the opportunity to shape how the internet of the future is governed commonly by all people in the world and all communities in the world. So get involved, participate, and frankly, this process can use a good dose of Singaporean pragmatism, of Singaporean way of work that is solid, that gets things done, and we need it to make that process successful. Thank you.
Before we take questions, Dr. Crocker, you were involved in the Internet from its earliest days. What does this process that we've begun mean to you and today specifically?
Thank you. Well, let me echo that this is a very important day, that this is a long-anticipated and long-desired point to involve the rest of the world in the oversight, the stewardship of the IANA process. I want to take a couple of themes that Fadi mentioned and push on them vigorously. Absolutely central to everything that we do and that matters to the world at large is the security, stability, resiliency of the system. The discussion that is taking place now has to do with the stewardship, but with the proviso that continued stability and a rock-solid operation of the core functions have to remain. And that will be one of the guidelines and indeed is stated as one of the principles, and I wanted to emphasize that. This is, we've already seen in some of the initial dialogue, both an awful lot of interest, which is great, and I must say a wide range of knowledge and indeed even confusion about what it is that we're actually talking about. So I would say that in addition to having a constructive dialogue, which we will, this is also an opportunity while attention is focused on this function to educate and to explain to a much larger audience what is actually involved. Some of this is a very ordinary process that is the kind of thing that takes place in lots of environments where people behind the scenes take care of business and it serves the rest of the community. This is a piece of the infrastructure which otherwise doesn't get a whole lot of attention, and I think properly so. But this is a good time to use the moment of visibility to explain exactly how the IANA function works and demystify it in some respects.
Thank you, Dr. Crocker. Quick, let me just ask you before we take questions in the room. Also, if I can ask, if you've got a question, just raise your hand. We're going to be very informal here, and we'd only ask that you speak into a microphone just so it can be picked up by the people who are online and on the telephone line. Quick, this is your home, the region generally, Singapore specifically. Picking up and speaking to Fadi's point, what does this mean if you're living in Singapore, if you're living in this region?
Right. I think first and foremost, people need to understand that ICANN is a platform where we design the future policies for the Internet, especially as it relates to unique identifiers. This is the place where game rules are written. For a very long time, if you look at the kind of demographic numbers we have in the Asia-Pacific region, the new technologies that have emerged from the region, as well as the businesses that have grown from the region, the Asia-Pacific region is underrepresented in this rule design platform. I think now is an especially critical period of time given that we are at the crossroads of the Internet. The IANA functions are going to be given to the global community. I'm hoping that the Asia-Pacific region engages in this conversation. I was just having a chat with some of our journalist friends as well, and the question is, what is the impact on end users? Well, I think my response is that our hope is that there is no impact on the end users, but we cannot take it for granted. We have to come collectively to design this together so that we ensure a smooth transition. So from the region, that really is my hope, that more people are aware of this platform and more people come together to jointly, collectively create these rules.
Thank you, Quek. Let's open it up to questions in the room. Do we have any questions? Yeah, can you just give us your name and your news?
My name is Miro Lu. I'm from the CCTV News, China Central Television. My question is, as you mentioned earlier, that Asia Pacific is the presence or Asian voice is still lacking in this platform. What are the challenges and how do you plan to change that? Thank you.
I think from our perspective, there are two challenges that we face. One is language, the other one is culture. So let me address the first point. Within our community, for example, we are very fortunate that we have participants from the technical community, we have participants from businesses and governments. We also rely a lot on participation of end user groups as well. If the discussions are not carried out in a way that allows us to break these language barriers, we are really impeding participation. And I think this is especially critical for Asia Pacific because the language diversity we have in this region is not seen anywhere else in the world. Because of that, we are working very hard on language localization projects because we are dealing with fairly complicated issues here. So we have entered into a memorandum of understanding with the Korea Internet and Security Agency to work on language localization projects. We are also working with, frankly, different partners. We build a toolkit, we put it on the table, and we hope that different partners, perhaps the at-large structures within our group, can help us bring out the message. But there's also the issue of culture in the sense of, you know, if we have been used to being price takers for so long, how do we change the mindset and become price makers and join others at the table? We are trying to do things like bring the ICANN meetings out to the region. So just in February, for example, there was a technical meeting in Kuala Lumpur. What we did was to take our content, the ICANN sessions, we broke the issues down into bite-sized pieces and went out to the community to gather feedback. And these are on issues that are of critical interest to the region. One example is internationalized domain names, where you can input domain names without using Latin script. So you can use Chinese, you can use Cyrillic, you can use Russian, you can use Arabic. And we took this issue and we went out to the Kuala Lumpur meeting to explain this and to gather feedback that gets put into the policy development process that is going to be discussed right here this week. So these are two things that we are trying to do to overcome these two barriers.
Other question? Yes, right here.
Craig just mentioned that we are quite concerned about the impact on Singapore. We understand that you are trying not to impact the end users. What about if, let's say, things doesn't go as much as we expected and somehow there is a certain impact? We would like to know the degree of the impact, what could be the worst situation? And apart from end users, what about the ISPs or the industry players? How will they be impacted? Thank you.
Yeah, this is a good question. Look, I do not want to paint any concerning or risk picture, but we are obviously, when we manage the core identifiers of the Internet, the names, numbers, and protocol parameters, these three registries that are managed by the community, as I described this morning, underpin the stability of the Internet. So there is no question that we want to keep the security and stability of the Internet as our number one priority. We can change accountability mechanisms. We can strengthen them. We can enhance them. We can do all these things, but none of these things should be done at the expense of the security and stability. ICANN has run these three registers for 15 years now without a nanosecond of downtime, without an issue. That's not going to change. As to your second question about the ISPs, clearly all the internet service providers and a lot of the organizations that are involved in the infrastructure of the internet, because as you know, 99% of the internet infrastructure is in private corporate hands. It's in companies that run the internet. They are deeply engaged with us. We have their, these communities are engaged at ICANN, and we will engage directly with them. ICANN has now started a direct engagement with the mobile industry and telecom industry. We attended fully and with a lot of presence the GSMA meetings in Barcelona recently. So we need to be engaged with that community. We need to make sure they're part of the change of governance that is happening. But I can leave you assured that security and stability and resiliency is our number one priority and will remain so, as it has been for the last 15 years and hopefully for the next 100.
Jeff?
Hi, Kevin Murphy, Domain Insight. This is about the IANA transition process. I just wondering, the NTIA said that they will not accept a multilateral or an intergovernmental solution to this transition process. So does it not follow from that that there should be some more safeguards to prevent a GAC becoming too powerful, perhaps stopping it becoming like a mini ITU within ICANN? Is that envisaged as part of this process to kind of put some kind of restraint on the GAC's power?
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin. As I said in my remarks this morning, the fact that the end result should not be a multilateral or intergovernmental certainly did not mean that governments should not be involved. Governments have to be involved. You've asked about what happens if the GAC becomes too powerful. I'm debating whether to advise. Well, our big problem is getting more involvement of the GAC. We're still in the process where the GAC is a maturing organization and come a long way and is making ever more contributions. And we're some distance away from being worried about whether the GAC is going to take over or become all too powerful. The way ICANN is structured is very thoroughly multi-stakeholder, and there are a lot of checks and balances built in so that no single constituency has the ability to become dominant or to take over. And I think there would be very strong reactions if that ever started to come into play. So I don't view it as an imminent concern. As I say, we value and encourage the involvement of governments, and we understand that for many governments, it's a novel experience to participate in an environment in which they are the only ones speaking.
Hi, I have a question for Fadi. Stephanus from ESP.
Can you just identify, give us your name? And
yeah, my name is Stephanus from ESP. I just want to ask, how much of a factor is the Snowden incident regarding the U.S. decision to relinquish its control? Yeah.
Tilling the ground, composting, working, doing all kinds of things, trimming her garden so that that garden produces the fruit it does. The ICANN community and the global internet technical community for 15 years has been waiting for that moment. To assign that moment to a person, to an event, frankly diminishes from the great commitment of many people over many years. So I would very much want to emphasize that even before any of us knew the name of that particular individual, I was already engaged, as was my predecessor and his predecessor, with the U.S. government in discussions about the steps and the processes towards the sunsetting of their unique role in ICANN. We were already deeply engaged in that. Now, I will tell you that certainly the revelations of Snowden have affected the global internet governance debate. There is no question about that. They have. And they have raised internet governance to new levels of interest by many parties, including governments. But, of course, I want to reemphasize that from an ICANN standpoint, an IANA standpoint, first of all, nothing in our work is affected by these revelations because we work at layers way below that. And secondly, the decision that was made by the U.S. government was influenced only by the fact, as they said, and I repeat, by the fact that ICANN is now in a position, according to the calculations of the U.S. government, to actually bring the global community to replace the U.S. oversight with global multi-stakeholder oversight. They made that decision and that calculation, and we thank them for that. From my perspective, as ICANN president, the decision of the U.S. depoliticizes internet governance. It allows us to enter the debate without the politics of the debate at the center of the debate. It allows us to discuss with people how do we create true mechanisms based on the things that we know today that have been proven, that have made the internet what it is today. The principles of inclusivity, of openness, of bottom-up consensus building are the principles that built this massively successful resource. Let's not lose them. Let's maintain them, remove the politics from them, and carry on as a global community, showing the world that without politics, we can actually achieve great things, just as we have today.
Can I just follow up on your observations? But all this depoliticizing is a noble objective, but we've already had Angela Merkel talking about a Europe-centric internet. You have had the Brazilian reaction. And my point is very simple. Is the genie already out of the bottle? To put it another way, have the horses already bolted before you are depoliticizing?
Look, there is, in the work that ICANN does, in the work of identifiers of the Internet, these technical registries that we manage to ensure that the Internet is working, none of these reactions you're hearing by politicians affect what we do. Most of these reactions focus on things related to how we use the Internet rather than how the Internet runs. What we do should not be politicized, not by Europe, not by China, not by anyone. We must maintain a single technical infrastructure for the Internet. So much divides us. Let's keep this thing uniting us. We can do different things that adhere to national cultural reasons in the use of the Internet. We have to respect that as well. We can do different things to energize and enable Internet industry around the world so it does not get concentrated. That's fine. But we cannot, under any circumstance, jeopardize the unity of the technical infrastructure that maintains an open, single Internet serving everyone.
Hi, Dylan from Channel News Asia. That is still early days, but could you tell us, arising from the discussions today, the kickstart of the discussions, have you actually achieved anything concrete that you can show for as a result of what you have gone through, the process that you've gone through today with regards to the transitioning process?
Yeah, I would say today we gathered several principles that I believe are very important. They may be subtle things, but they're important. The community asking for specific working groups that need to be formed the community asking that we ensure that all options are on the table for the mechanisms. The community asking for there to be national consultation efforts, not just certainly at ICANN meetings. You heard very clearly people were saying this. So all of this is input from people who frankly understand these processes, have lived through them, have seen that those that didn't work and those that did work. And I must tell you, I think, and I'm sure Steve would assist me on that point, that what was achieved today was to prove to the world that this process will be open, that those for it or against it or for a viewpoint or another were all welcome to participate equally, on an equal stage, and give input. Now, we will take all what we heard today and some of the subtle principles people were putting on the table, and we will coalesce this and share it again with the public on April 7th. That will be shared with the world. The world will be given another opportunity for public consultation, for input. We will have specific websites designed, areas where people can participate and dynamically participate in the process.
Let me add to what Fadi is saying here. There's a great hunger and eagerness to have solutions to know what the answer is going to be. And indeed, as I said earlier today, many, many people are capable of sitting down and saying, well, I think it should be the following, and sketching that out and proposing an answer, all of which would be perfectly reasonable. But far, far more important than reaching an answer quickly and is making sure that the results and the decisions that are made are based upon the inclusiveness and the involvement of the entire community. So for many people, and I'll admit to being one of them, there's a bit of a little bit of pain involved in holding back and in waiting to get the entire discussion laid out and have everybody submit ideas and have those ideas sorted out and debated and so forth. But the result will be one that, first of all, is likely to be stronger than and better than what any single person might propose. And even more important than that is one that will be have the buy-in, have the support of the global community. So your question is the very natural one. What's been accomplished right now? And Fadi's answer is the right one, that the initiation of the project, the starting of the working groups and other mechanisms is what is the most important aspect. The specific answers of what the transition will look like will come in due course. And I would say, venturing to be to say a little more, I don't think they'll be surprising. I don't think they're going to be dramatic. I think they will be ordinary and perfectly sensible. And I would expect low drama rather than high drama in the results. But specifying exactly what the answer is premature at this point.
We have a question online from Paul Blake in London, a freelance journalist. With regard to this IANA transition process, what exactly will we see happen in Singapore this week? And also, how long do you expect this process to take?
Okay, if I could, to the gentleman from London, I want to make a very important clarification. It is not IANA that is being transitioned. It's the stewardship of IANA that is being transitioned. And this is a clarity that we need to keep making. The IANA functions are operated by ICANN through agreements and mutual commitments we have with those who own the policies for these identifiers. The IETF owns the policy for the protocol parameters. We have an agreement with them to operate that function. And I bring to your attention that on the same day the U.S. government announced its intent to transition its stewardship to the world, the technical organizations that have stewarded the Internet for all these years also issued an equally important statement in which they affirmed our respective roles and ICANN's specific role as the administrator of the INF functions. Now, what is being transitioned is the fact that we had a steward, an oversight function from the U.S. government. That will now be transitioned to a multi-stakeholder process from the world. So what will be achieved this week, Mr. Blake, if I could answer your question directly, is dialogue across our community. Many other communities that are present here will participate on what is the best set of processes so we engage everyone. So, for example, I'm sure we will discuss with many country delegations, and you should know the GAC, our Government Advisory Committee, has over 130 countries represented in the GAC. Many of them are here, but we also have the business community, the private sector, companies from around the world. There were 2,000 people in the opening ceremony present physically and many more online. So it's important to know all these people all week will be engaged in an open dialogue on what is the best way to set a process that is open, transparent, that is multi-stakeholder, that it listens to everyone and involves everyone. This is the great opportunity that we have today to respond to the U.S. government ceding or signaling its intent to cede its unique role and hand it to the world. We are responding to that. So the more dialogue this week, the better. We're listening, we're taking input, and all of that will be hopefully synthesized in a single memo that we will issue on the 7th that again we will put out for the rest of the world to comment on and give us public input on. That should be the beginning of defining the contours of the process and how we will make it happen. The last part of your question was how long will this all take? A lot has been made of the date at which the contract between ICANN and the U.S. government expires. That date is September 2015. So yes, we are going to attempt with the community to build a process that allows us to define the mechanisms to replace the U.S. stewardship and operationalize them in time for September 2015. However, if that does not happen, we will seek more time from the U.S. government, and the U.S. government is clearly not going to be rushing to end this contract and hand it to an unfinished, untested process. Anything we do, as I said earlier, cannot for a nanosecond jeopardize the security and stability of these important registries. And none of us or the U.S. government will want that to happen. So we will work towards that date, but if we cannot as a community produce an operational, tested, secure set of mechanisms to replace their stewardship, we will not move forward until that's done. That's our commitment.
Other questions?
Stephanus from AFP. Does that mean that the U.S. will still hold control over they're not going to relinquish their control should the model is not ready yet?
So, yes, the U.S. government will not change its current role through the transition. Let me clarify that. So everything is status quo through the transition. If we submit a proposal that meets their four principles, which they put in their announcement, then they will pass on renewing the contract and the community will just carry on with these new mechanisms. Did I answer your question?
So if they renew the contract, when would you have a new deadline or what's the plan?
I am hoping we don't have to get into that discussion, but I appreciate that you want to know if, you know, will we renew it for a month, for 6 months, for a year? I don't know today, because I do think, based on our assessment, that the moment the U.S. made the decision, we moved very quickly. And that should show you the organization and the focus we have on responding to their invitation. And today, as I said, marks the beginning of that process officially. And it's not just by ICANN, as you saw today. Yes, we may be the facilitator, but the entire technical community today was engaged and working with their facilitators so we can start this process. And my hope is that we will not have to discuss another date, but we will cross that bridge then.
David Goldstein, Domain News, Domain Pulse. I was just wondering if you're talking about the people you want involved in the process, and I was wondering how far down the chain do you want people to be involved? Do you want internet users to be involved? And if so, like, what consideration are being given to, say, accessibility issues for people who have difficulties accessing the web, people who are blind, vision impaired, deaf, for instance?
Excellent question. First of all, we will not limit participation. Everyone is welcome. So from a participatory standpoint, ICANN is committed, and that's part of what I announced today in the principles of the transition, is committed to equal participation by all parties interested to give their opinion on this. The internet is everyone's internet. We must all be equal partners in this transition. I believe you would be pleased to know that ICANN has made huge efforts in the last year to make sure that our website and our web capabilities are fully accessible. This turned out to be much harder than we thought from an operational standpoint, but that's already in place. And we have now, even here in Singapore, we have some working groups from people from that community who are guiding us on how to continue this work and enhance it. We are going, as always, to offer all of our input mechanisms into that process in all the UN languages plus Portuguese, and where possible, with the help of our regional activities, such as Quack's description. For example, in Korea, we will be adding the Korean language. So as much as we can, we're going to be open, inclusive, and allow full participation.
The future model of internet governance that you're talking about, how would it be, and how different it will be from today's model?
So first of all, let me just also clarify. What we launched today is about the IANA functions, which is very specific to ICANN and the technical organizations. This afternoon at 5 p.m. Singapore time, we're launching another process that has to do with the globalization of ICANN as an organization as well, because we believe both these things should be on the table and open to everyone to participate in. But now one level above these two things lies your question, which is, how are we going to create a new ecosystem of internet governance that is beyond ICANN? ICANN is only one small part of internet governance. There's a lot more to internet governance than ICANN, even though sometimes people see ICANN engaged in that process and conflate the two. But really, we shouldn't. ICANN is a part of it. We are a member or, let's say, a key component of the ecosystem of internet governance, but we're not all of internet governance. Hence my focus this morning to remind our community about the upcoming multi-stakeholder internet governance meeting in Brazil called Net Mundial, because that's the meeting that will have as a key focus the overall environment of internet governance, not just ICANN. Of course, as I said, if people want to talk about ICANN in a multi-stakeholder environment, everyone is welcome to talk about everything. So it's not my place or anyone's place to say you can't talk about something in a multi-stakeholder environment. But I'm hoping that the global community will not miss the opportunity to answer your question, which is, how will internet governance for all technical and non-technical issues evolve in the future? Let me give you some short answers. First, when you're designing something for the future, and I'll let Steve speak to that, he's the real engineer here, not me. Anybody designing something for the future, the first thing they do is also look at what is working today. So what is working today is the global multi-stakeholder technical internet governance layer
that is delivering value. It delivered the internet, as we know it today in many ways. The W3C, with its focus on HTML and XML, and very important standards that drive the World Wide Web. The IETF, that produced the protocols that enable the internet as we know it today. ICANN, which produces policies and manages these registries that ensure the security and stability of the technical layer. And I can go on. So the first thing we should do as a global community is say, what is working today? What works? What doesn't work? How can we enhance it? How can we make it better? And I will tell you what works today. What works today is distributed internet governance networks. Today at the table, in the big session, you saw an internet governance network. You saw multiple organizations sitting together, engaging through mutual commitments and delivering value, and it works. We don't need some major central new institution. We need lean, dynamic, distributed internet governance networks. Networks of groups, of institutions, of individuals, of experts that solve real issues and solve them with speed to address the speed of the internet. The other thing we need is enabling mechanisms. Today we heard many people from certain parts of the world, from Africa, from other places, saying we need help to participate in this process. We need enabling mechanisms as well. So there will be many good ideas and many new ideas, but as always, we should start with what works and see how we can strengthen it and replicate it where possible so that we can stay at the speed of the internet.
We probably have time for one more question if somebody's got a final question. Okay, then I'll ask the final question. Quick, I'm curious, you live here, you live in this region. We saw a lot of reporting from around the world where the essence of the reporting was this last sort of thread of the U.S. government was being let go. When you meet with government leaders in this region or business leaders, various stakeholders, what comes at you? How was this announcement being received?
Very positive. I think there's a true excitement coming from the region that the internet as we know it is becoming a global resource that we share. I'm very heartened by many of the endorsements that we have seen, many of the positive signals and the willingness to come to the table to discuss a solution. Let me name you a few examples from the region. So we have Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull coming up in his blog post endorsing the development. We have Minister Yaakob today sharing with us his support for the multi-stakeholder approach. We have the Korean government, the Korean Ministry of Science, ICT and Future Planning not only engaging in the Net Mundial process, putting in a submission, but also in an unequivocal way support the multi-stakeholder model where the technical community, businesses, government, and other parts, including end-user communities, come together to collectively look at the solution. So that brings me back to the two words I started off with, very positive. The signals coming from the region are very positive.
I mean, I'll add to that, Brad. Today is a triumph of the multi-stakeholder model. It marks a triumph of a model that many doubted, many still do not understand. But it's a model that delivers value. It has and it will continue to deliver value. The decision by the United States government is momentous because it validates and it strengthens the idea that people around the world can, in fact, come together and manage a global resource that is borderless, that does not, even air, which is borderless, does not travel as fast as the internet, and therefore its issues are slower to spill over national boundaries.
If somebody pollutes their air in Cairo, it takes a few days for it to get to Paris. But if somebody pollutes the internet in Namibia, it hits LA in about a nanosecond. So it's a challenging resource, the internet. It's borderless and it's instant. And how we manage it, how we go about doing this, which we will discuss in Net Mundial and beyond that, is important. But today marks an important announcement, and that is that the community has come together to build multi-stakeholder processes to govern this global resource in a way that could inspire and actually spill over so many other resources that, frankly, the world has yet to come together and solve. That's why it's important.
With that, we're going to bring this to a close. Let me just note that for those of you who have never covered an ICANN meeting, we certainly realize it can be a little bit intimidating. We can easily delve into the technical weeds. If we can be of help to you, and by we I mean myself, Brad White, it's brad.white@icann.org, or Leanna, we're both around cruising throughout the area. If you find anybody with a staff badge, they can reach out to us. We're here to help you in any way we can, so reach out to us in the course of the week if we can be of any assistance whatsoever. Gentlemen, thank you very much.